growing one's business could be the worst decision that a business owner makes for the longevity of that business. In the new book, Company of One, Why Staying Small is the Next Big Thing for Business, Paul Jarvis introduces a new business strategy that bigger is not always better and to always question growth. In fact, 74% of businesses, he says, fail because they scale up too quickly. Jarvis left the traditional world of business when he realized that devoting his days to a high-pressure, high-profile corporation was not his idea of success. Instead, he now works for himself independently in a much more rewarding and productive environment. We will talk about that and business and staying small. The name of the book is Company of One, and we welcome Paul Jarvis to the roundtable this morning. Paul, thank you very much for being with us. Very nice to have you on the program.
Yeah, thank you very much for having me. I appreciate it.
So what got you thinking about this singularity of business?
Well, it's kind of been the way that I've always run my own business for 20 years. Initially, it was because I didn't want to manage other people. I actually like doing the work more than I like managing other people doing the work. And then about 10 years ago, I realized that this is actually like a system, I guess, or a mindset to kind of consider how a business could work that could work for more than just my own business, but for other people's business. And then I started to do research and interviews and all of that. And I found that there is actually, pardon the pun, the worst pun ever, but there's a growing movement of businesses that don't really want to grow their business past a certain point.
In other words, what you have is enough, right? You're doing all that you can personally handle.
Correct. And I think that for a lot of small businesses or owner-operator businesses, there comes a point where there's diminishing returns, where, like you said, when you reach enough, if you did more, it wouldn't necessarily get you at any more happiness or contentment, or even if you make, say, enough money, you wouldn't have even much use for that money past just having a bigger bank account sort of thing.
But we have to get away from, and you make this point in the book, we have to get away from this notion of growth. Of once you're a company of one, then you look at 2, 3, 4, 5, 100. There's always that idea in the back of our heads that what we're doing is always going to be the start of something much bigger.
Yeah, and I think that I think it comes down to the reason why a lot of people start businesses, and granted this isn't everybody, but I think it is a lot of people. I think a lot of people say leave the corporate world and want to work for themselves, not necessarily to build the next Facebook or Tesla or something like that. They just want to have more freedom in their life. They just want to build a life where they're obviously making enough to support themselves and their families and live comfortably, but they also want to have the ability to, say, not work, or to pick who they work with, or to pick when they work and when they don't, or when they want holidays, or when they want to be in their garden and that sort of thing. And so I think it really makes sense to always consider that, because I think every opportunity in a business, especially if it's an opportunity to grow, also comes with an obligation. It comes with, I guess, an obligation debt. So if you say yes to this thing, this opportunity, then there's going to be a maintenance cost associated with it, and it could actually take you further from the purpose of starting your business in the first place.
So the things that you talk about rather early in the book are this idea of company of one. If you were a leader of a company of one, you have to get used to turning down opportunities. Opportunities that are not a good fit for you, not a good fit for what you were trying to actually accomplish. And then you talk about this importance of just being self-aware of what you're capable of and what you can do and what you can't do.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's difficult, to be honest. I think having self-awareness or introspection is a difficult trait to kind of foster. There was a study done, I can't remember at what university, but they put a bunch of people in a room, and there was a buzzer on the table, and they just said, you can sit here by yourself, there's no stimulus, or you can press the buzzer and get a small electric shock. You don't have to press the buzzer, but the buzzer is there, and if you press it, you'll get shocked. Most people press the buzzer because they didn't want to simply just be alone with it. It's baffling, but I also understand it, that people are afraid to just be alone with their thoughts, to have introspection. And I think to bring it back around to business, I think a lot of business owners, it's a lot of work to run a business. It takes a lot of time. You have to wear a lot of hats. And a lot of times we can get stuck in the weeds of running the business instead of getting that high-level view of, like, I want to work on my business. I want to make sure my business is fostering what I need it to foster in my own life, kind of thing. So I think it's difficult to actually do that. And I mean, for myself, I moved to the woods on an island in the middle of nowhere and really gained that perspective. But I don't think everybody has to do that. I think that there are ways to kind of just stop and think about, is this what I actually want? Because if we start our own business, we should be in control of that. And a lot of times we can lose that control if we scale up too quickly or if we grow too fast.
What do you think there is? I'm going to ask just a brief psychological question for a moment. What is there, do you think, that many of us, and I think there are many of us, who look at what you just said of going on an island in the middle of nowhere that sounds blissful?
It is.
That's because it is.
Yeah, I'm not going to lie. I grew up in the suburbs. I lived in a city for most of my early adult life. And then my wife and I kind of packed, and that's how the book starts. My wife and I pack it in during the Winter Olympics in Vancouver and moved to the middle of nowhere to a tiny surf/draft dodger town with about 800 or 900 people in it. I think you can do that as a vacation as well. You don't necessarily have to move there, but you can also, I think we just need more space. And to be honest, like, I think it comes down to space. Like, I force myself to have space by doing that. But I think if we give ourselves time to just think about things instead of just working on things nonstop without end, we can come to the same conclusions, I think.
Chapter 5 of the book is Determining the Right Mindset. In your opinion, what is the right mindset?
Yeah, I think it comes down to, and I think there's a lot of business books that kind of offer like a blueprint or this is the way you should do it to accomplish X. Whereas I think Company of One is more, these are the things you should ask yourselves to come to your own conclusions. Because I think just like the first question that you brought up was around the topic of enough. Enough is different for everybody. And my enough is different than your enough, which is different than listeners' enough. If I had, say, 4 kids or I lived in San Francisco, what I need to live comfortably is different. So I think we just need to ask ourselves questions. I think we need to, and there's 3 main ones that I always like to come back to that kind of are a thread throughout the book to determine this, is how much is enough? How will I know when I've reached it? And what will change, if anything, when I do reach enough? And I think if we ask ourselves these questions, what I really want from the book and just from people in general is to ask themselves the right questions to come to the answers that are going to suit them the best for the business that they want to have and then the life that they want to have.
When it comes to that life that they want to have, how does that go with what ultimately has to be discussed, and that is a paycheck, right? The money that is coming in. So a lot of times one dictates the other. There is the amount of work that I would like to do and the projects that I would like to do, and yet I still have to pay the bills.
Yeah, and I think the book is definitely, and my own views are wholly pragmatic on that, where I think every business, for it to be a successful business, however you define that, it needs to be profitable. And in profitable, it also needs to, so if it's a small business or if it's a single person business, profitability doesn't just mean that the business is making more than it's spending. It also means that it's making more than expending and it's covering the life of the person running it. So for my own business, yes, my business needs to make money, but it also needs to generate that paycheck, like you said, that I can pay for food and my mortgage and all of that. So I think we need to treat it like a business, for one. Like, we do need to focus on profitability, because if a business is profitable, it's durable and it can last in the long term. Because a lot of businesses, they don't go out of business because they're too profitable. They go out of business because they're trying to grow too fast. And they're hoping that profitability comes with scale, which isn't always the case. So I think in focusing on how to be profitable as quickly as possible, then we can set ourselves up for success, where we can think, how can we achieve this profit on the smallest scale possible and then increase it as we go, instead of saying, well, in 5 years or in 6 years, if my margins keep increasing, if the volume keeps increasing, then hopefully we'll be profitable and I'm just going to eat the costs or find an investor to eat those costs at the onset and just hope things work out. I would never want to hope that things work out in my business. I would want to set it up so that it's working in the first place.
You make a very good point in the book, and so I just want to perhaps end with this, and that is that what we're talking about is this idea of a company of one, and it seems, as I mentioned at the beginning, very singular. But you do drive home that even if you were a corporate leader, that what you're talking about can be used by anyone, and ultimately that just has to do with ownership, taking ownership, and responsibility.
Yeah, I think that the company of one is more of a mindset than a mandate of one person. Like, my own business isn't a single person, and most of the businesses in the book aren't one person. I think it's more of a mindset that questions whether growth makes sense or not. And I think to your point about corporate leaders, I think if people start to think about in their own teams or in the people that they manage, how they can build things, one, like I was talking about, how we can reach profitability as quickly as possible, but as well how we can give ourselves or our team the autonomy to get work done in a way that works best. Because I think if the mandate is to sit your butt or your team's butts in chairs from 9 to 5 Monday to Friday, whether or not they have enough work, then that work is going to take up that amount of time, whether it needs to or not. So I think if leaders in the corporate world kind of think about how they can empower their team to have more ownership on projects, which happens with autonomy, how they can get work done faster and more efficiently, and how they can bring simplicity into the processes or the rules or the systems that they have, then they can, in fact, be operating very much like a company of one. And I think that's the way that the world is kind of going. More and more people are leaving the work for themselves because they're not getting what they need from corporate jobs. If corporate jobs and corporations started to think, well, these are the reasons why all my employees are leaving, what can we do to empower them so they don't want to leave? Because it costs so much money to hire and retrain people all the time.
Well, the name of the book is Company of One, Why Staying Small is the Next Big Thing for Business. The book is published by Houghton Mifflin Harcourt. Paul Jarvis, thank you very much for being with us. A great pleasure to have you on the program.
Yeah, thanks. It was fun to talk about this today. Thank you.
Best of luck to you. Thank you very much. Again, the name of the book is Company of One by Paul Jarvis. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.